Tony Fomerson, Life of the Artist, is a new biography written by Mark Forman, published by Auckland University Press. In a career spanning three decades, Tony Fomerson was a notable New Zealand painter whose works were often dark and who shed light on the human condition and reimagined life in Aotearoa. In this biography, the first full one of its kind to be published, Forman draws on archival material and interviews with over 150 people, including Fomerson's family and close friends, leading contemporary artists, political activists, and art professionals. However, notably, due to varying recollections of those who knew the artists, Forman had to leave reproductions of Fomerson's unique paintings out of the book. I spoke to Forman about what made him embark on this research, Fomerson himself, and navigating representation of him. I started by asking who Tony Fomerson was.
He is considered one of our most important artists, New Zealand artists. He lived from 1939 to 1990, so he died very young. Lived a sometimes chaotic life, but also kind of juxtaposed with that was a very serious, earnest kind of, like he was quite an archivist as well. Mm. So there was all these different sides to him. He's a very generous man as well. But that sort of, yeah, so that sums him up. In the 1970s and 80s was probably when he was at his prime, I'd say.
And it's been 35 years since Tony Fomerson died. And after 12 years of research and writing, you've now published Tony Fomerson, Life of the Artist, a biography of his life, and the first full one to be published. Interestingly, you never met Fomerson. What about his work and life is so special, which made you embark on this project?
I've always liked his art, and I just went deeper and deeper into it. It really kind of got its hooks into me. And then I wanted to find out more about him. But when I went to look, I was surprised. There wasn't a full conventional biography written. Mm. It was kind of, I never set out to write a biography, but it came about from just wanting to find out more about the man who made the art. And, you know, I had heard stories and there were some interesting ones. I knew he had a fascinating life and I wanted to find out more. Mm. But the stories were kind of the same ones repeated, and I wanted to sort of get beneath the surface to really find out more about his friendships and his sort of, the whole span of his life as well. So that's how it started.
Mm. And you've gone so in depth into this, of course. The book is drawing on material from over 150 people, which is huge. What was your process for finding who to interview and then conducting those interviews? Mm.
It was kind of like a chain reaction thing. Like I would track down, I started with people who knew him really well. Mm. There was like Richard McQuannell, who's an artist here in Auckland, Lou Summers, a sculptor in Christchurch. They were kind of part of his inner circle. Mm. And so I chatted to them, and then they would put me onto someone else, and they would put me onto someone else, and it just kind of organically expanded like that. So I would track people down, I mean, Facebook, if they're represented by a gallery, I could go through them. But yeah, it took a bit of time to track people down, and that's partly why it took so long. And also, once I'd interview people, I had to transcribe all the interviews, and I'd often go back to people to check things and interview them again and kind of keep on asking questions until they were sick of me. it was sort of like that. It was a very long process, but so I'm really glad that I did it because, it just kind of gave it that real human side to it, whereas the stories, I think, in the past had been a little bit mythologized, and I wanted to really get more a sense of him as a person.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. And this is a book about an artist without any images of his works themselves, which seems quite unusual. Can you tell me about why this is?
Yeah. So it is unusual in some respects, but there are, as I say in the book, there are a couple of big examples in New Zealand's past of literature of not having books, like the one on Ralph Hawtrey. Mm. So the reason for why there are no books is because the family and I couldn't agree on the kind of story that should be told about Tony. And I right from the start, I engaged with them and got off to a really good start. I talked to Tony's mother in Christchurch. She was in her 90s. And, yeah, and I talked to his two sisters. But and so there was progress. And we and the publisher, Sam Elworthy at Auckland University Press, worked with them and engaged with them. But we just couldn't come to an agreement on how his story should be told. And so they decided to withhold permission for the art.
Mm. And I do want to come back to that in a moment. But before we do, how do you think not having the art included has changed the nature of the book and the way it's read?
Mm. It's an interesting question. I mean, someone tweeted just recently that they didn't think it mattered not having the art because the story was well told and you kind of got this more internal sense.
Mm.
So I don't know. I guess that's up to readers to respond to. But I do feel like I did want to tell his story and tell it well and really get into the depth. And I feel like you can't fully understand his art until you do understand his story. And also, you know, there are lots of places where you can track down his art. So I don't think it's a lost cause. There's still the possibility of reading it and consulting the art as you go.
Mm.
Yeah.
And going back to these conversations with the family, as you said, and I also read that there were some complications as to how you as a biographer and Fomerson's family wanted to write about him, and that there were a lot of conversations about possible factual inaccuracies. How do you feel like you could continue on with this project, with having these moments with the family where you had different views as to what the biography should look like?
Mm. It was very difficult. But it was a kind of a case of trying to keep engaging and see if we could come to an agreement. They read through the full manuscript. I then, you know, made corrections once I'd gone back to my sources where that was necessary. But in the end, I think it was more a case of, you know, different ways of recalling Tony. And obviously, I think that a sister's and it's a sister's way of understanding their brother is going to be different from other people. Mm. And all perspectives, I think, are really valid and important. And I would love, you know, if there could be something from the family at some stage. But also I think it's important to remember that Tony is a public figure and a very important one. And his story does need to be told. So you have to, I think as a biographer, it's a case of trying to balance out those kind of ethical concerns with the need and the importance of the story for the country, I think, or for the arts community at least, yeah.
And, you know, along that, the family has expressed their disappointment in the manner in which this publication has proceeded, and they've said that they believe his legacy deserves better. But how do you feel like this book carries on Fomerson's legacy?
I mean, that's a difficult one to hear because it's been through a really rigorous academic process as part of its publication. It's been all AUP books go before the board. It was reviewed by three really well, highly regarded art historians, and they all fully endorsed it. So, you know, I feel confident that what I have done stands on its own. And I think my hope is that in terms of his legacy, it will draw people back to the art that and his story and thinking about, you know, what he did and who he was and what that means for today. Because it seems like people still really engage with his art today, that still stands. So, yeah, that's how I would respond to that.
That was author Mark Forman speaking to me about his new biography, Tony Fomerson, Life of the Artist, published by Auckland University Press. Tony Fomerson, Life of the Artist is now available from all good independent bookstores near you.